Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, and we are live today, First Horizon Park, Sounds and the Gwinnett Stripers tonight, 6:35. The Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, and holy crap, what a train wreck loss for the Atlanta Braves today. When I went to lunch before the show, it was 9-3 Braves, and I thought, well, okay, you know. And then I had people texting me last hour saying apparently the Braves lost 11-10. Just a disaster. Anywho, Robbie and Rex Road had Charles Robinson on their program this morning, and I guess Joe said, Charles, we gave you a homework assignment. This is the senior NFL insider for Yahoo Sports, and I think Charles has some pretty good information. And so they said, Charles, we gave you a homework assignment. Find out what the market for Will Levis is. And I thought about cutting for you what Charles Robinson said, but David Reed, what something you're going to learn, and I love Charles Robinson, but Charles can be very long-winded sometimes when it comes to trying to find a cut to clip. I would just say that I'll sum this up for you. Tasked with a homework assignment of finding out what the market for Will Levis really is, Charles Robinson, talking to teams around the league, said there really isn't a market out there for Will Levis. Perhaps Liam Cohen in Jacksonville could be a spot, but again, it's not like Charles said Jacksonville has interest in Levis. It's just maybe that could be one spot with the one guy who was his coordinator in college at Kentucky. Let me just say this. The Titans are in no position to deal Will Levis right now because the time to do that has passed. Here's how the NFL offseason works. The NFL offseason, it's very odd. The season is over at the very beginning of January, but all those players are still technically on their teams until the beginning of March. The new league year opens on March 14th. And free agency begins on March 16th or whatever in a given year. Now, between January and March 14th, what happens is the agents and the teams talk. And the teams and the teams talk. And so everybody kind of gets an idea of who's going to be out there. They call it the free agent board where they put down, okay, here's everybody who's a free agent. Here's everybody who's likely to be cut. Here's everybody that may be up for a trade. Here's all these different things, and here's what it'll cost. And everybody starts to map this out. And when it comes to backup quarterbacks and the backup quarterback market, the backup quarterback market works like this. Guys like Josh Dobbs, who know they are backup quarterbacks, Mason Rudolph, who knows he's a backup quarterback. I'm going to tell you right now, Mason Rudolph is not surprised by any stretch of the imagination. Like, that's it. He knows Aaron Rodgers is going to sign the whole time. Aaron Rodgers signed. It's not surprising to him, but he'll still get his $4 million to be the backup, which is what he signed up to do. So, again, when it comes to Mason Rudolph, and it comes to Josh Dobbs, and it comes to your typical backups, these guys try to sign as fast as possible because they want to get as much money as humanly possible, and they want to guarantee that they know where they're going to be and they're not going to be on the outside looking in. So they all sign, just like when you signed Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen was a backup. Brandon Allen waited for who would give him a backup spot. He gets it from you. Okay, I sign. The other thing teams do for backup quarterbacks, especially the teams that don't want to pay for a backup quarterback because Josh Dobbs is $4.3 million and Mason Rudolph is in the $4 million category, is teams with established veteran quarterbacks will look at trading for a young guy who's not making a lot of money so that they can put him in as the backup. That's what happened with Kenny Pickett in Philadelphia last year. Philly's paying a gazillion dollars for their roster. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, the two tackles, the tight end, and the entire defense. That's not cheap. And while Howie Roseman doesn't care about the salary cap and will spend all the money that he wants to spend and everything else, the reality is that they're going to try to skimp in other spots. Backup quarterback is one of them. Where right now, I believe the backup quarterback situation there is Tanner McKee and Dorian Thompson-Robinson saying, if we get an injury there, we're screwed anyways. Who cares? We're not going to spend any money there. We're just going to go with the flow. If the Titans were going to move on Will Levis, the time to do it would have been about March 16th. Maybe even before free agency opened, before the veteran quarterbacks could hit those spots. That's it. But once all the backup quarterback slots filled up, whether it was Josh Dobbs in New England or Joe Milton in Dallas, or once all the backup slots filled up, nobody's going to want to trade anything for Will Levis. So now that ship has sailed. And at that point in time, at the combine, the Titans were adamant. We're not trading Will Levis. Chad Brinker had a quote from Jim Wyatt after the combine on Titan Stationery saying, we're not interested in trading Will Levis. Again, Chad Brinker is Jim Wyatt's boss. Jim Wyatt only writes something that Chad Brinker said if Chad Brinker tells him to do it. This isn't like Jim Wyatt reached out to Chad Brinker and said, hey, I'd like to do a sit-down interview with you. No. They said, we want it out there that we're not trading Levis. Then before the draft, they said they weren't interested in trading Levis. After the draft, they were asked if they had thought about trading Levis, and they said no. So every step along the way, the Titans have said we're not interested in trading Will Levis, which now takes them to this awkward stage where we all know deep down inside Cam Ward's going to be the starting quarterback. And we all know that they brought Brandon Allen to be the backup. And we all know that Tim Boyle is going to be the fourth camp arm. So what's the point of having Will Levis on the team? And some people will say, well, they want to pump him up so then they can trade him. When's the last time you've seen that happen? Joe Milton went out there against the Buffalo Bills backups and had a better game than Will Levis has had in his entire career, with the exception of the first game that he ever played. And Joe Milton, the sixth-round pick, was traded for a fifth-round pick and brought a seventh back. I mean, there's no real value here. So what happened with the Levis thing was the Titans just don't have a plan. The Titans said, oh, yeah, no, we're not going to trade him. We're going to develop him. But in all seriousness, develop him for what? He's got two more years on his contract, and I believe that over those 2 years, they really want Cam Ward to play quarterback. That's why, again, in the past, when a team has had a young quarterback who didn't perform, they shipped him off before the offseason started so that those teams could just get anything in return. So that New England could get anything in return for Mac Jones. So that Washington and then later Seattle could get anything in return for Sam Howell. And the only way that this makes any sense, the Titans knew they were going to draft Cam Ward. The Titans have said, since the combine, which is at the end of February and the beginning of March, the combine's always like February 26th through March 8th. Since the combine, the Titans said they knew they were going to draft Cam Ward. And at that moment, that's when they should have been trying to trade Will Levis. Well, once they didn't try to trade Will Levis, that should lead you to believe that they have a plan in place. But then they signed Brandon Allen. So what's the plan in place? And it doesn't make any sense until you realize one simple thing. It's the Titans. It's the Titans. Once you realize that it's the Titans, and I tell you they don't have a plan, that should tell you all you need to know. Because we've seen since the Titans fired John Robinson on that day in 2022, they've had no plan. I can argue you can even go back before that, when I kept waiting for John Robinson to go get a right tackle or a left guard, and they said, we're going to roll with Aaron Brewer. It's crazy because the NFL franchises are worth so much money. This is a multi-billion dollar operation. And you would think that they would have a better plan for how to manage their quarterback situation. But again, Charles Robinson's out there talking to teams saying, does anybody have any interest in Will Levis? And these teams are saying to Charles Robinson, we don't. I mean, maybe Jacksonville would, but we don't. And so it's like, okay, now you have Will Levis on your team. It's going to be a massive distraction, especially if he plays well in the preseason or in training camp. You're trying to bring along the young rookie Cam Ward. You've brought in Brandon Allen to be the backup. What's the plan here? And the answer is, as is the case with the Titans, oftentimes, they don't have one. The end. Like, that's how it works. What's your plan? They'll say a bunch of gobbledygook, but again, in all seriousness, what's the Titans' plan here with Levis? They don't have one. And it's so hysterical that we're, again, at the same point. 615-737-1025 on the phone lines. That's 615-737-1025. We'll hit some of those. Plus, the one place people think Levis might end up traditionally does not happen. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Right away, people should stare at, you know, Jacksonville. He said Jacksonville's Nick Mullins is their backup. It's one of, excuse me, he said it's one of the worst backups in the league. He said, well, what's more important there is who's their head coach? And I said, well, Liam Cohen. He said, well, do you know what Liam Cohen was doing during Will Levis's junior year at Kentucky? Or, well, his good year before he went pro in Kentucky. And I said, I don't remember. It's just stupid. He said, Liam Cohen was Will Levis's offensive coordinator at Kentucky the last good year that Will Levis had at Kentucky. He said, Liam Cohen was a huge Will Levis proponent coming into the draft when he was the offensive coordinator for the Rams, and now he's the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's like, how did you not make this connection? I was like, because it's stupid.
There you go. That was Charles Robinson this morning on with Robbie and Joe. So people, Charles Robinson asked people, what do you think about the market for Levis? And they're like, not for us, but hey, maybe Jacksonville and Liam Cohen. I will say this. I talked to Liam Cohen before the 2023 draft, and he sold me on Will Levis as much as you could possibly sell somebody. I mean, he was telling me the kind of guy Will Levis is. I mean, this is the kind of guy you want. I said, what do you mean? He goes, Will Levis's academic advisor at Penn State drove down to Indianapolis to watch him throw at the combine. That's how much these people that are around Will Levis believe in Will Levis. And now Liam Cohen is the head coach in Jacksonville. And the one reason why a lot of people would be weary of trading Will Levis to Jacksonville is obviously because it's inside the division. And I could see Amy Adams Strunk, who once again with a straight face told all of you a reason to be excited and optimistic about the future of the Titans last year was because they had ran a bunch of cap space and a good young quarterback. So at some point she really, really loved Will Levis. And let's not kid ourselves. Will Levis's best buddy in the organization is Bryce Wasserman, who is Amy's either current son-in-law or future son-in-law, who's kind of her de facto go-to when it comes to what's going on inside the building. That being said, I wouldn't have a problem with him going to Jacksonville. And here's why. Number one, Will Levis is not going to be Jacksonville's quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is Jacksonville's quarterback. So if you end up having, you know, if you trade Will Levis to Jacksonville, he's probably never going to get on the field anyways. Number two, if you think Will Levis sucks so bad that you use the first overall pick on Cam Ward, that you turn down the Giants offer for all those picks because you knew Levis stunk and you knew you were going with Cam Ward, then why would you be so afraid of Will Levis being somewhere else? And I will say this, I actually believed this offseason, because this is what normal teams do, I thought if the Titans were going to draft a quarterback or sign a Sam Darnold or something like that, that you would have seen the Titans trade away Will Levis to Tampa Bay, where they already have an established veteran starter in Baker Mayfield. Kyle Trask at the time was a free agent. They have re-signed him, but he sucks. So I could have seen that if Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator still in Tampa Bay. So I don't have a problem with Jacksonville. It wouldn't surprise me if it was Jacksonville. And I'm not going to say, no, no, no. Don't send Will Levis there, because I don't care who his coach is. I don't care if it's Bill Walsh. I'm not sure how much of a difference it'll make. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number if you want to get in. Adam is up next here on the program. Adam, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, you hit on two things, man, and I wanted to kind of bring them together. So if you look at, because I agree, Titans do not make good decisions, but if you are trying to, like, objectively look at it, like, what do they see in Levis to make them not move on just yet from Levis? I could see it. Like, right, he's got a rocket arm. He's young. He's a second-round quarterback. You hate to admit that you messed up that bad with a second-round quarterback. With Jeffrey Simmons, that's completely different. Like, what are you doing defending Jeffrey Simmons left and right? Like, what is he to this team right now if you're in the organization? Because I'm racking my head on it. Because I see Cam, and I'm like, dude, I really want him to succeed. But if that's the leadership he gets to look up to, like, is Jeffrey Simmons a great player? You either need to be a great player or a great guy. And I don't think he's either one, man. Like, you know, coming in, he had character issues. Everybody wants to act like he didn't have that. He had that. And then the Buck thing, it wasn't just yelling at him. He was saying vulgar, horrible things to Buck for doing his job. I don't think he's a good guy at all, dude. And then as a player, he doesn't get sacks anymore, the thing he was supposed to be good at. So, like, I get why you go to bat for Will. I don't get why you go to bat anymore for Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, I'm just going to say this. At least there's a spot on the field for Jeffrey Simmons to play. And, like, Jeffrey Simmons, again, we can knock him all we want. He should be a better player, especially the way he acts. Jeffrey Simmons is a good NFL player. You can't say that about Will Levis. Will Levis is a joke. Literally, he is a joke. When you bring him up, people are like, oh, yeah, ha, 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 ha. Simmons is not a joke, though the whole situation is embarrassing for the way that the Titans talk about him. You know, but again, everything the Titans, I mean, don't you guys think it's embarrassing when your coach gets up there after you won three? And again, I like Callahan, but you win three games in an NFL season and your coach gets up there and he says, I have the answer. We're going to take our entire team and split them up into eight separate teams, and we're going to have a point system, and we're not going to really know what the winners get, and we're not going to really know what the losers get. And we can't actually make any of these guys do any of this stuff, but we're going to develop this team bonding, kumbaya, rainbow, sunshine, pumpery. We're not going to change any of the coaches from the horrible season we had last year, except for the special teams coach, which we're only going to change kicking and screaming because, you know, he has to go. But I know he's a good coach, all of that kind of stuff. But this is our big plan. Like, isn't that kind of a joke? And the thing I'll say about Simmons is, while Simmons is annoying, and it's obnoxious that Simmons is not a better player with all the talking that he does, he is a good NFL player. You can't say that about Levis, at least not right now. Jared is up next here on Will Levis. Thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead, Jared.
Man, if I feel like if Levis goes down to Jacksonville, he has the exact personality of Liam Cohen. They're both goobers, so I feel like he'd fit in pretty well. But, yeah, the Titans, to your point, I just really don't understand how they can drop the ball on a lot of their issues. And I'm wondering, you, Stillman, where do you – since, I mean, we are told that Amy is an off, you know, off-campus owner and all that. So who do you put all this – like, where's your blame meter lie with how this is being conducted with, you know, within the management? Because it's almost like a reality TV show anymore, and you don't have to go that far to find the drama. So, but I'm here for the drama, because that's really about all the Titans can provide anymore, because it's not good football play. So yeah, I'd just love to hear you. Who do you blame on that stuff? And then, I don't know, have a good afternoon, brother. Tighten up.
Yep, thank you. Here's what I would say. I blame Amy, because Amy being a hands-off owner or a not-in-the-building owner is not an excuse. So I blame Amy first and foremost. And, again, I go back to the beginning of all this, which I believe was Amy firing John Robinson in the middle of the season when they were in first place. That's when I look back at this and say, that is when the Titans started making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. People will say it's the A.J. Brown trade, and you're entitled to that belief. The Titans were 7-3 without A.J. Brown. Like 7-3. You know, that's a good start to the season. So, again, that's just my opinion. You can have your opinion one way or another. On the front of, okay, if you're not going to blame Amy, who are you going to blame? Here's a problem the Titans have. And this goes back to how I have felt for 2 years. The day after the 2023 season. So this is Tannehill, Henry, Levis, Vrabel, Tim Kelly's the offensive coordinator, etc. I said I would fire everybody. I said I'd clean house. And that includes Vrabel. And the pushback I got was, you can't fire a first-year general manager. That's not fair. And the pushback I got was, that's racist, Rand Carthon. You can't fire him. And I said, well, you have two choices. You can either fire him or you can promote him. Because Rand Carthon was hired. Whether this is fair or not, it's just reality. Rand Carthon was hired to work with Mike Vrabel to build a football team. And they could not work together. They could not do the job that he was hired for. So now your choice is either go all in on Rand Carthon or blow it all up and start over. And I said that I would blow it all up and start over. I would clean house and I would hire an experienced football guy to come in and run the operation. Thomas Dimitrov, Rick Spielman, you name it. An experienced guy who has been the head honcho before and knows how the league works. Again, I don't think everywhere needs an experienced general manager or an experienced head coach every year. But I think this team in that moment needed an experienced general manager who had been through it. They went the exact opposite way. They argued with me about, you'll see. You will see, Jared. I mean, I'm serious. Like, real conversations. And then a year later, they kind of admitted, yeah, no, we screwed that up. And look at it right now. Brinker has no experience to be running a football operation. Zero. Being fifth in command at the Green Bay Packers, or whatever he was, is not enough to be first in command with the Titans. Borgonzi, no experience. Although I do like some of the things I've seen out of Borgonzi at this point, we'll see. But no experience. Callahan, no experience. I mean, how are these guys going to know what pitfalls to avoid if they, A, have never been through it, and none of the guys working for them have been through it? Denard Wilson has no experience. Nick Holtz has no experience. The only guy who's got any experience is Bones Fossil, and he's the only guy that I have faith in over there. But again, I think that keeps going with Amy, which is the new guy is always undefeated. I can bring up any guy and you can tell me, well, look at that mistake that guy made. Because they all make mistakes. But I can also show you teams that these guys have built. And I can say, you know, Thomas Dimitrov built a team that was capable of leading by 25 points in a Super Bowl. And the only reason they lost that game is because Freddie freaking Krueger was the other team's quarterback and Kyle Shanahan crapped his pants. That's not Thomas's fault. But again, it's like, no, we want the inexperienced guy that hasn't proven he can do it. And then you end up with, you know, Rand Carthon. More of your phone, 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025, plus the explanation or expectations, probably the right word. The expectation that I have for Will Levis. You know, what's actually going to happen here? Because, again, we know that we know Cam Ward's going to eventually be the quarterback. We'll get to that next. Hey, tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. Pregame 6:20, first pitch 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game National app at thegamenational.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We are live here today out at First Horizon Park, and do not miss out on Nashville's best deals. Great offers from 312 Pizza Company, Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, Central Barbecue, Fog Stream Lock Club, and more. Get them now while supplies last at thegamenational.com/deals.
It was easier, I think, for Chicago to move Justin Fields than I think it is for the Titans to move Will Levis. Why? Because Will Levis has this, what do you call those things that they used to have back in, you know, the 1600s where you used to have to walk around with this?
The scarlet letter?
Yeah, the chain, that thing around your neck saying you did something bad or you're just a bad person.
A sandwich board?
I guess so. There's a historic name for it. I just don't know what it is now. But that's Will Levis now. Justin Fields wasn't walking around with that, I don't think. Will Levis is. Why? Because when we talked about saw or talked about the Titans, it was always Will Levis did this, Will Levis did that. The coach just told him not to do that, and look what he did. So we don't speak of Will Levis glowingly. So the Titans can't get rid of him. They can't make a move with him. Why? Because there might not be a lot of suitors out there, and if there is one at all.
There you go. That was D. Mays talking about Levis, saying, I mean, why would anybody want Levis after the year he had last year? And I totally get it. Phones, 615-737-1025. By the way, here's my expectation for Levis, which is I believe the Titans are going to do what they did with Malik Willis last year, which is he's going to play in the preseason, and the Titans will trade him for a bag of footballs after the preseason like they did with Malik Willis, and that's that. And I think, quite frankly, I have and we have all wasted too much time talking about Will Levis. Because who cares about a backup quarterback that might be the third-string quarterback that if you do trade him, you'll get a sixth-round pick in return? Like, what's the point of talking about that? That is just not that big of a deal. And I knew when they benched Levis and said Rudolph was the starter, I knew it's over. I mean, I think we run a promo where I say once you make that decision, that you don't go back. That's what Floyd told me, is once you have somebody and he's the guy and you take him out, he's no longer the guy. And I know you'll say, well, but Carolina didn't. Again, the Carolina Panthers are not the epitome of a well-run organization. Not that the Titans are either, but once you give up on a guy, that's always in the back of everybody's mind, is that you've already given up on that guy. So I just think we've wasted too much time talking about Levis anyway. At least as far as I'm concerned, because it's not going to be a big deal, and they're not really going to get much in return. But he is a star in terms of the show and people talking about him because he was the quarterback, and this time last year, there were hopes and prayers that he was going to be the next Dan Marino. So at that point, it is what it is. 615-737-1025. Thomas in Hendersonville says, why are people overlooking the fact that the Titans' offensive line last year was god-awful? Tannehill himself could not have done as well behind that line as he did in previous years. Not to mention they didn't have Derrick Henry. My theory, the texture says, is the Titans are going to trot Will Levis out there during the preseason behind what should be an improved offensive line, let him shine a little bit, and then wait for a team to come calling in the middle of the season. Teams always need quarterback depth throughout the season. How many quarterback trades are there in a given year? And again, whatever Will Levis does, it's not going to be enough to make a team say, okay, let's give up something good. And let me say this. There's one thing that I think does need to be addressed here. Because people will defend Will Levis with how bad the line was, or how bad the coach is, or how bad the receivers were, or the fact that they haven't gotten him a defensive line, or how bad the special teams were. And again, the special teams were awful, and that is independent of Will Levis. And the coach kind of looks like a joke, so that may be independent of Will Levis. I will say, Levis had an opportunity last year, and in week two, he got up there and talked about DeMario on the other team. And the other team didn't have a DeMario. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Again, if you can't figure out who's on the other team, you can't play quarterback in the NFL. I watched the Darren Bates podcast, The Raw Room. They had Brandon Bolden on, who was a running back for those Brady Patriot teams. And he told me something that Floyd had told me in the past. So he said something in that interview that I had heard about in the past, which is, when you show up on Wednesday in New England, Bill Belichick would expect you to know everything about the team you're about to play. So everything about the, you need to know who the owner is. You need to know who the general manager is. You need to know where he went to college. You need to know about the offensive coordinator. You need to know about where he was before. You need to know all these things. Floyd told me the veteran players were smart. They would keep notebooks. So when it was time to go back to the next team, they would just have that notebook already ready because we played them last year. Levis gets up there 2 days into preparation for the Jets and talks about DeMario, who was not on the Jets. That should tell you all you need to know. And for me, that was kind of one of those, okay, I figured it out. Like, I figured it out. This guy, he ain't got it. So, yes. And the other thing is, hopefully the Titans don't make the same mistakes they made for Cam. But that, again, is something that we'll have to see. One texter says, I've been saying for months the Titans are going to pump up Levis and then trade him. Again, what are you going to get in return? A sixth? A seventh? That's really going to rebuild the team. That's really worth all the talking we've been doing. Come on now. 615-737-1025. TD will be here at the top of the hour for the TD Power Hour. But coming up next, game one of the NBA Finals tonight. And there's something that's like an NBA problem that I'm not sure there's really anything they can do about it. But it does kind of take away from what we're used to with the NBA Finals. I have a thought. We'll get to it next. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Texting the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 now to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit PFLMMA.com/schedule for more details.
It's one thing I really admire about the NFL. I mean, if we were going into a Super Bowl and it was Packers against Steelers, you guys would be celebrating that. Those would be storied franchises. People wouldn't be talking about, you know, the fact that Pittsburgh is a small market. So in fact, you know, I'm happy whatever team ends up in the finals, but it's been intentional from our standpoint to create a system, a collective bargaining agreement that allows more teams to compete. And just by way of background, you know, we're going to have to go through a process of getting to the point where people are accustomed to tuning into the finals because it's the two teams that deserve to be right there, and it's the best basketball. Similar to, again, with the Super Bowl, if I asked somebody if they were going to watch the Super Bowl, they wouldn't say who's playing. It's a national holiday. And right now, that's nirvana.
That's, you know, the goal.
I'm not saying we're anywhere close to that yet. There's still, if the Knicks are in the finals, there's a segment of our fan base that's going to watch that may not watch if it's other teams. But my job is to get people to love and follow this game. And so that if you're a huge basketball fan, you should want to tune into the finals because that's the best basketball.
There you go. That was Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, game one of the NBA Finals tonight. And there has been a lot of talk about the fact that it is OKC versus Indiana in the NBA Finals. Now, I'm not Mr. NBA. I've never claimed to be Mr. NBA. My interest level in the NBA Finals on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being how I used to feel back in the Jordan days, is like a 2.5. And it may be lower than that, to be completely honest with you. But a lot of people blame the commissioner for certain things. I don't know how you blame the commissioner for the fact that OKC and Indiana earned the right to be in the NBA Finals. If you have a scenario like that for baseball, where it's the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks, what do you do? You just suck it up and deal with it. And you're going to get bad TV ratings. That's not the issue here. And there's nothing the league or the commissioner can do about that. There's another thing that I'm not sure the commissioner or the league can do anything about, but it is an inherent NBA problem. There's not a guy anymore in the NBA that gets me, and I would assume a lot of other people, to turn on the TV. There is not a new guy. Like, there's not a next generation at this point guy to carry the baton from LeBron James. And I do wonder who the next guy in the NBA is going to be, because for the most part, we've always had that guy. Larry Bird was the guy. Go back to the old Converse commercial where they had, I want to say, Mark Aguirre and Bernard King and Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. And at the end of it, Larry Bird says, you know what the Converse weapon, which was the shoe, you know what it did for me? And everybody around him, Mark Aguirre and those guys, are what? And Larry Bird goes, I walked away with the MVP. And then from Larry, it was Magic. And if you'll remember Magic with the Lakers and Kareem, and again, it was a great rivalry between the two. You had the Bad Boy Pistons for a couple of years, but that was still at the end of Larry and Magic and at the beginning of Michael, where Michael was starting to come in. Michael beat Magic for his first title. It was kind of a passing of the torch. And everybody knew it, too. Like, Magic Johnson ran to the Bulls locker room after Game 5 of the 91 Finals, and he hugged Michael because it was like, all right, Michael, now it's your game. From Michael, it went to Kobe. From Kobe, it went to LeBron. And I don't know who the next guy is. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, they're too old, plus their days are behind them. It's over for them. So, and I think Curry probably belongs in the grouping with LeBron. I don't think Durant belongs in there. So who's next? Last year, I think there was a hope maybe Jason Tatum could be that guy in Boston. But Jason Tatum's hurt. And I'm not sure that Jason Tatum gets people to the TV, because he didn't get them to the TV last year. And I'm not sure Jason Tatum has the personality to be Kobe, Michael, LeBron. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the OKC Thunder, I don't think he's getting people to the TV this year. Now, if he wins a couple of titles in a row, that'll get people to the TV. But I just, again, I don't see him as some sort of transcendent star. Again, we're talking about Michael Jordan and Larry Bird here. I don't see it. Cooper Flagg hasn't even been drafted yet. Although, I will say this, and I got criticized for this, but I believe it. When I saw Cooper Flagg in the NCAA tournament, because I didn't watch a lot of Duke basketball this year, when I saw Cooper Flagg in the tournament, I did say to myself, that's what I imagine LeBron would have looked like in college. So Cooper Flagg might be the next guy. But again, it's hard to put that kind of pressure on the number one pick to say, okay, now you've got to go be the next guy in the NBA today. When LeBron got in the league, Kobe and the Lakers were in the midst of winning titles. And it was Kobe's game. That is a problem the NBA has. And again, I don't know, like, I'm not going to blame LeBron for this, whereas I blame LeBron for a lot of the problems with today's NBA, like load management and how obnoxious the players can be sometimes. And I really do blame LeBron and Durant for a lot of it. I don't blame them for this. But it just kind of feels like these superstars, maybe it's that they make the money too soon. Maybe it's that they don't care enough about winning the title. I mean, Luka Doncic is probably the most polarizing superstar out there. And, like, he might be too fat to be that guy. So, again, I'm not going to crush the NBA because of the market size that's out there. But I just don't know who the next dominant guy is going to be in the NBA, and they need that guy because LeBron's day is over. Joe Rex wrote, Mr. Basketball Benjamin texted me and said, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, or Anthony Edwards, heard of them. Now, Jokic is a bad boy. Like, I'm not taking anything away from that. But do you really see Jokic owning the sport a la Larry, Magic, Jordan? Jokic? I don't. No disrespect to Jokic. Anthony Edwards, about 2 years ago, I watched him play, and I'm like, this guy might be the next Michael Jordan. And I really felt that way. Anthony Edwards shoots the ball 8 times in a conference final? Do you think Michael would have ever shot the ball 8 times in a conference final? I don't think Anthony Edwards has that killer instinct in him like Michael Jordan. So I'm not ready to go there with Anthony Edwards. The NBA needs their next Kobe. They need their next LeBron. And I don't know who it's going to be. Couldn't tell you. But they need that guy, or else it's going to be what the NBA was like pre-Bird and Magic, which is tape-delayed NBA Finals. Again, it's never going to be that way, but it might as well be. And boy, Amazon and NBC are going to be mad. Holy crap, if this league goes down the tubes. 615-737-1025. TD Power Hour is next. I got to know what TD thinks of the whole Simmons not showing up for OTAs and not even peeping about it. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 through the game.